Reading over into the book of Amos, chapter 9, verse 10. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Now, some of you perhaps don't understand perhaps what he means when he speaks of the ruins of the house of David. But the Lord lets us know that the ruins of the house of David is the fallen down house of Solomon. Solomon was the son of David. And David wanted to build a house for God, but he could not build a house because there was too much blood on his hand. David, being a man of war, he could not build the house because there was too much blood. So then God chose Solomon. But it was David that gathered all the gold and the silver. As he fought the alien armies, he gathered the gold and the silver and all that it took to build God's house. And Solomon, when he came along, he also collected so much gold from the rest of the world. He had ships that went out all over the world, and he collected gold and silver and all these beautiful things, peacocks and all these beautiful things. He brought them to his land. And the strange thing is that the amount of gold and silver that he brought in for a year was 666. So there's something that is hid within that, if you understand. But he said, I will return in the last days, and I will build up the fallen down house of David. If you look in the New Testament, you'll find out that when Peter, James, and John, the others came together, they came together at Jerusalem for their gathering. And when they came there, one stood up in the midst and said, brethren, something is taking place. And he said, and this agrees with what the prophet has said, which no doubt was the prophet Amos. And this agrees with what the prophet has said, and I will return in the last day, saith God, and I'll build up the fallen down house of David. Right then it looked like that Jesus had come back to the Jews, and there was 12 apostles from the Jewish people that was on fire for God, and it looked like for sure that he was going to build up the fallen down house of David right then. Whereas he did, as to the spiritual Jew, as to the spiritual house, he did. But these brethren perceived that he was going so far as to bring in that great, wonderful millennium reign and build up the house of David to the extent that the promise unto David was that it should not fail, that one of his seed should sit upon the throne. And even in the days of Cornelius, when he done so wickedly and sinned against God, coming down through the lineage of David, the corruption caused God seemingly to have to break his promise because he cut them off and declared not one of them as a lineage would sit upon the throne. And it looked like that that time that he had broken his promise. But he did not break his promise. He just took it on the Nathan side and came down to Mary and brought the seed right on through as to Mary to fulfill the scripture to say as to the seed of the woman. Because as to Joseph's side, it had been cut off because of Cornelius. And of course, we could say a whole lot about that lineage that's coming to the throne. But nevertheless, God stayed with his word. He did not break his word. He brought his word to pass. The Bible said that his word is the same to 1,000 generations. And it's unaltered and it's unchanged. For he said, I will not alter the thing that is gone out of my mouth, but I will hasten to perform my word. I'll not change it. So then we see that it came to pass in that day as the statement was made that God was building up the house of David. And yet he wasn't restoring the temple of Solomon as to that hour only in the spirit. That is to say, Solomon's house had to do with a spiritual house, and David's had to do with the natural side. If you'll notice, David never did take a wife other than among the Jews. That was his way. He took among the Jews. He took from them a wife. And David never did seek another wife. The only time that David really got his foot into it, aside from the Jews or from that, is when he took Bathsheba and when he committed murder to take that wife. See, but Solomon was a man that took wives from all kinds of tribes. He didn't just take from the Jews. He had wives of all kind. And of course, in the end time, they turned his heart away from God, as God told him that they would do. And he built for them houses of worship, houses of idols, and all of these things. And they turned Solomon's heart away from God in his old age. But nevertheless, Solomon had to do with that thing of the coming forth of the Christ. Whereas it was said past Pentecost, there when this great, wonderful event had taken place, all of these people came, which were Jews, but they were speaking in their native language, which was many different kinds of languages, in that they were in different places. So then it showed the coming together of the many wives as to those that would be converted unto God. Because the Bible teaches that when God left off with the Jews, he went to the Gentiles to get himself a bride. And that was Christ that went to the Gentiles. And the beautiful house that Solomon built had to do with the temple, that has to do with the bride, that new Jerusalem that's coming down out of heaven to set down upon the new earth. And what David had to do with was the restoration as to the old Jerusalem, as to the king's throne there in Jerusalem where we're purchasing the property, as to the restoring of that which had been taken away. So then that means that the millennium coming in is going to be a restoration, but the new earth that is coming in will be past the millennium. And it will be, as you would say, the next millennium, and yet it won't be a millennium because it will be an eternal entrance into the things of God. And so we see that we are the lively stones. It's built up into a holy priesthood. Thus the scriptures fulfill. He is raising up the fallen down house of David, and we're called the repairers of the breach. But at the same time, these brethren perceived that God was actually going to bring the Jewish nation back to power, which would be literally the fallen down house of David, as to the kingdom of David that was in his time and that went on to his son Solomon, as to bring to pass the promise that God would do what he promised as to making the seed of David sit upon the throne. And of course, Jesus comes down through the Mary side of it as to that which is for the throne. Now, let's just talk on that just for a minute. And let me comment here before I really get into my thought. Remember that Jesus must come back as the seed of David, and he must sit upon the throne. Now, Jesus is not the seed of David as to a natural man, because God hasn't given the right to the throne to any natural person. And David was a man that had plenty of faults. But the thing is, the seed, as it was to Abraham, God saying, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called," pointing to Jesus. So then God has said the same thing to David in pointing to Jesus. Jesus coming through that lineage, but not of the seed of David, to the extent that Jesus was not of the seed of anyone as to the blood seed of life. God created that. That was a miraculous thing as to a divine conception and the Spirit of God creating this blood seed for life. But it is fulfilled as to the Word of God, since it says that it will be through his seed, in that Mary was of David. Therefore, it came through this lineage as to Mary. And then it was called the seed of the woman. And the Bible said, "The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent." And we see then by that, that God kept his word. But Jesus comes. And when he came to the Jews, they tried to say, "He is the Messiah, and we're going to anoint him and set him on the throne," because they enjoyed the fishes and the loaves. Jesus said, not because of the miracles. It wasn't because of the miraculous. It was the fishes and the loaves. So then Jesus rejected that, saying that my kingdom is not of this world. And of course, I spoke to you a little bit about that today. But here's what we have to remember. That there is no other record among the Jews as to king lineage. God willing to see that his word come to pass, to watch over it, to protect it. What did he do? He let Titus in 70 AD come in, plow the city like a field, burn down the sanctuary, and destroy all of the records as to the chronicles of the kings. And there is no record of any king that goes to the throne. They are completely destroyed. God meant to stop them, so he stopped them all. He destroyed all of them. And then a little one was born. His name was Jesus. And to make sure that there was now a new record, and a record that would stand, though all of these other records were to be destroyed, even as to that that would be of Jesus or anyone else, yet God gave the record of the Bible. And this is the historical thing concerning the prophets and Jesus. And even from the Torah comes the great prophetical utterance as to his kingdom and as to the fact that he must sit upon the throne. So with all other things gone, every record gone, there is but one record today, and that is the Bible. And so then the Bible tells of this Jesus being born, and how that he was the son of Jesse as to David, coming through the lineage of Mary. And it gives it even the lineage all the way back. It calls the names all the way back, even to Adam. It goes all the way back to Adam. And God watched over this word and preserved it even through the dark age. So then he has this record at the end of the world as to what Amos is saying. I will return in the last days, saith God, and I will raise up the fallen down house of David. Or I will bring the lineage back to the throne, and that through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to sit upon the throne, where the Bible said, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And he legally and lawfully shall come to power, and the people will have to accept him through the law as to the natural kingdoms of this day. Just like you would elect in a king or a president or whatever that you would bring into power. See, so it is a true fact that there is no record, there is no history, there is nothing that can bring another throne into view or another king into view as to conflict with Jesus. He unanimously shall take the throne and rule forever. So that's what this is all about. The fulfillment, as the Bible said, and in the latter times I will raise up the house of David. Raising up the Temple of Solomon. What was said about the Temple of Solomon? What was it that the Bible says concerning the Temple of Solomon? It was said that when I come into this temple, the Bible said, and his train fill the temple. And when I come into this temple, that if any man will look toward this temple and call upon the name of the Lord, I will hear from heaven and I will heal his lands. And so then they practiced that. Even Daniel in his time. Daniel 3 times a day. He would turn his face toward that temple. And he would pray. He would continually pray in the direction of this temple. And pray that God would have mercy upon him and upon his people. And today it's carried on over to our hour. It's still the same thing. We are today in the same position as we look toward the temple as to the body of the Lord Jesus. And John in the revelation of Jesus Christ said, and I beheld, and there was the tabernacle of God among men, which was the body of the Lord Jesus. So then today you are the tabernacle of God. And God said, I'll walk in you, I'll talk in you, and I am in this tabernacle. As to the natural body, God is thus with the Jews, as with us, so that as in the wilderness of this intellectual wandering. But on the other hand, God is within us as the born again person, foreseeing us as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing us as the temple of God, members of the body in particular. So then the body of God, even bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, is in the earth today. And God is within his temple. Let every man in all the world keep silent, for it is not man speaketh, but it is God that speaketh from within his temple. So the Bible said all these things that we do, we should do them as unto the Lord and that we should do these things according to the word of God. So the temple is here. And now everyone that looketh in the direction of this temple, believing, confessing their sins, shall be healed. He'll hear from heaven and heal them. That is to say, whether it's me, whether it's whoever it might be, as collectively speaking, we're the body and temple of the Lord Jesus and the world out there. If they need deliverance, if they need healing, all they've got to do is look in the direction of the true children of God and this wonderful divine body of Christ, which is the temple. This divine temple, this divine body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in this direction, see this, and in doing that, then the Bible said, calling on the name of the Lord, and they will be healed. They'll be healed. So there's healing in the atonement. There's healing in the temple of God. There is the power of God within you. You might never utilize that ability. You might never live the way that you ought to live to the extent that you can fully utilize this ability in Christ to bring deliverance to people. But it should be that even your words should cast out unclean spirits. Did you know on many occasions in speaking the word, I've driven unclean spirits away. And people that love God can drive unclean spirits away because they can speak the word. And when they speak the word, then unclean spirits cannot stay there because you cast out unclean spirits by the word of God. When you speak the word of God, then you cast out the unclean spirits. When I come here to preach to you and I come here to talk with you, I come here for one reason, and that is to cast out the unclean spirits. The Bible said he sent his word and healed them. And I bring the word of God to you that I might heal you. Like it was said of Paul, he went into this place and the Bible said he healed the man. So then we bring the word of God to you that you might be healed. Faith cometh by hearing of the word of God, God within his temple speaking, and then according to your faith, so be it unto you, as to receive your deliverance or to receive your healing. So then the word of God is here. The faith of God is present, and the Lord is present to heal. Every time we come together, the Lord is present to heal. For the Bible said, where there's two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So then when two or three of us come together here, God comes to little Bethlehem. You know, people are not very wise. People out yonder, they have things to say against the church. And they're not very wise because they don't realize to do that against the least of the children of God is to do it against God. And to do good to these children, or that is to do good to God. And in the day of judgment, the Bible said, know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? Or that is according to what's written in the books and according to what they did unto you, that's the way God is going to judge them. I was sick and in prison. You didn't visit me. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. And all these things because they did it not unto you. And they will say, when saw we thee sick and in prison and did not visit thee? When saw we hungry and we did not minister unto thee? And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, in that you did it not unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me, or you did it not unto the body of Jesus Christ. So then we want to be careful how that we entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. And we want to be careful of our opinion. We need to have the right opinion toward people. We don't need to think the wrong way. We don't need to do the wrong way. You know, I see evil. Solomon said, I've seen some evils under the sun, and he enumerated some of those evils. I see some evils. I remember in the Carolinas, I saw an evil. And I saw where this man had taken a wife who had children already. Children. And then they had children. And I saw the man was partial to the one that they had, and with resentment or jealousy or unfairness, he did not treat the other right. And even though he was a minister, and even though they did all these things as to religious things down through the years, I knew that someday he'd be in serious trouble because his judgment wasn't right. This grieved the mother, and of course the dad wasn't there. You know, as far as I know, the dad was dead and whatever, and the children could not defend themselves. But did you know the favoritism went on until the child was grown? The man was grown, a nice, young, fine-looking fellow, grown. But did you know that it wasn't long before he had killed himself? And then, of course, that gave place for the others. for him to love the others. You understand what I'm saying? This is an evil that people do. They do that to their own hurt. That's misjudgment. That's sinning against one another. That's sinning against God. See, that's just one little thing. And on the other hand, I see people that are greedy and gullible, have all kind of things. God has blessed them with health and blessed them with ability and intelligence to have things that others don't have. And they're very greedy and they will not share with their neighbor. They won't help their neighbor. They won't look on the things of the other as to seek the welfare of another, but they're greedy and gullible, and they are concerned only about their convenience and their way of life. You know, and God said, I'll visit for these things. See, and the Bible said, and when you are fed to the full, you nay after another man's wife. He said, will I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? So then these evils are under the sun. People don't judge right. People don't live right. People don't do right. And so sinning, they sin against God. And in the day of judgment, they must be judged according to that. Because the saints of God, they are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the members of his body. And they are the children of God. And what you do to them or don't do to them, then you've done it unto the Lord Jesus. And you have to pay for it, not only in this world, but in the world to come. So then, we are the body of the Lord. The tabernacle of God is in the earth. We are filled with the power of God. We are filled with the Spirit of God. My cup runs over. And wherever we go, we have the power of God with us. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't feel like I have the power of God. Well, you don't have the Holy Ghost if you don't have the power of God. Can anyone say that the Holy Ghost is not power? The Bible said you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That is to say, the Holy Ghost is power. He's the only power of God. The Holy Ghost is the power of God. That's Christ, the overcomer. The one that's overcome the devil, to have the power to overcome the devil in your life. Christ is in your life. He is the power of God. When it says you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, the rendering of the originality of that is when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you receive power. See, and is King James Version, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But what it is telling us is that when the Holy Ghost comes, we have a chance to take this life, this power of Christ, even the great overcoming power which is on the inside of you. We have right to that, to bring that into our mortal being, to make the life of Christ manifest in our mortal being, or that is to say, put virtue into this body by bringing it from that innermost spirit, which is the kingdom of God, of course. You have power. You may not use it. You may not fast enough to break down the outer person to where that the hindrance can be taken out of the way, but you still have the power. This is the beautiful thing about it. The thing is that the middle wall of partition is already broken down, which is the outer you. Now, it's already broken down. So the power of God, which is Christ on the inside of you, can flow very freely from you through that body to heal, to save, to instruct, to deliver, to cast out unclean spirits without any problem, because the middle wall of partition is already gone. It is already gone to the extent that you have been given the very desires of your heart. Whatever you want, you've already got it. All things that pertain unto life. All you got to do is just believe it and start using or utilizing. So then, it's already yours. God has already given this to you in Christ before the world ever was. Made it available to you at Calvary through the rent veil by faith in the finished works of the Lord Jesus, saying, as I said this morning, command thou me concerning the works of my hands. So you've already got it. The devil has already been destroyed. To you, there is no devil. The devil, Lucifer, Satan, has already been destroyed. Jesus said, I beheld him as lightning fall from heaven, and I have destroyed him that hath power over death. Why should you fear death? See, I have destroyed him. But where we get into problems, we get into the activities of this world, which is lying vanities, and then we get into a maze or a wilderness or into a dream or a nightmare. And in this nightmare, we're just tormented by these evil plagues and powers when they don't really exist except in the imagination of our mind. That's why the Bible said, casting down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ every thought. Well, that is to say, get rid of your wild imagination. Get rid of that mind of fear and frustration, anxiety, lying vanities that you've been born with, and get down to business and program your mind with the Word, casting down everything to the thoughts of God, to the mind of Christ, to the Word of God. See, for the Bible said, he that observes lying vanities, that is, lives in his own mind, he forsakes his own mercy. Because his mercy is in the bodily atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all things is given to us in the Word. And when we live in our own mind, we are observing the lying side. We're vanity. All is vanity, the preacher said. Solomon said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. So then all of these things must pass away, because all of the invisible things of God being understood by the visible, that makes the visible nothing but a lying vanity, just a shadow of that which is to come. All right, so then we see that we have this great potentiality. We have this great treasure. We have this wonderful thing, like someone whose father, mother has passed away and left them this great, wonderful inheritance, this great treasure. They have this great treasure. But see, because they are not yet mature, they haven't come, as we say, to the bar mitzvah, or the time as to receive the money and these benefits that's been left to them, in that they haven't come to this yet, they can't get those things. They can't get those things, but it is a true fact that you can work with those people that are in authority, that's appointed over these things, and you can get a little bit of that along. You know, if the child needs some clothes, or if he needs certain things, he can get it. That's the way it is with faith. We can get our faith into action and have a present help right here in this day when we're in need. God is a present help in the time of need. So then all of this treasure belongs to us. But because we do not apply ourselves, then we don't differ nothing from a child, though we be heir to all. So then, under the tutors, under these people that have been appointed over us, and yet the time will come when we'll have this. And yet we already have it. But the time will come when we will have this as to the power of utilization and to using these things if we go on with the Lord. So I said that to say this. There is no middle wall of petition to stop you. There is nothing as to iniquity to suppress you, to keep you from those wonderful things of God, the fullness of life. There is none. It's all gone. All of that is lying vanities that you are observing. See, all of those things, that's not God. That's Satan. But there is one thing that does prevail, and that is unbelief. And because of the unbelief, so then comes the lying vanities. And because of the unbelief, bringing the lying vanities, then that means that you have placed between you and your blessing once again the petition, the middle wall of petition that God tore down. It really isn't there. Christ took it away. But because you do not believe in him, but you believe in the lying vanities, and you do not program your mind with the Word, then as the beast defeated Eve when there was no reason for it, in that she gave her mind to him, you give your mind to the beastly part as the Lucifer within your fleshly part, and then he defeats you. And he rules over you, and you lose all of your wonderful benefits. So see, just simply because of unbelief, you have brought again the middle wall of petition. And Paul said, if I build again that which I've torn down, then I'm a transgressor. I make myself a transgressor. Therefore, in Christ, I've torn down the middle wall of petition, and I'm dead by the body of Jesus Christ to the law. And the law of sin and death is no more. Therefore, I am no more a transgressor as to the law, because I am dead to the law by the body of Jesus. That middle wall of petition is gone. I cannot sin the sin, that is to say, the sin of the flesh, sinful flesh, because it's gone. Being in God, I cannot sin, it's gone. But if I observe lying vanities, if I go back into my mind of bewilderment, if I get back into those contrary things as to lying vanities, it's right there, and all day long I'm suppressed by the powers of Satan that works in my body. Paul said, within my body there dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present, But how to perform that in the body, I find not. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That body is still ruling over you. That obese body is still over you, and you're still imprisoned by the powers of Lucifer, even the mind of confusion or the mind of gullibleness as to the lying vanities of this world. You're still in bondage as a bonds child by the mind of Lucifer to the things of this world because he loves the things that be of this world. I tell you again that he's cast out. Lucifer's cast out. He's nothing but a reflector. And all of this world is nothing but a reflection of the world to come. And Lucifer's nothing but a reflection of the God that is to come. And he's the God of this world because he is a reflector over these things that are a reflection. And God is the great God, and the world that's invisible is the great world. And we who are invisible, that cannot be seen by the natural eye, we're not of the dust. This body's to the dust. If this tabernacle be dissolved, we've got another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hand. That is, we've got that tabernacle of David, that is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he came through the lineage of David. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ because if this body be dissolved, we have another tabernacle, even a temple eternal in the heavens. That is to say, the body of Christ in the spirit, not made with hands. And the Bible said, as we have borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. So then that means that we should do what? Put on thy lovely garments, thy beautiful garments, O Zion. Put on thy garments. It is time for thee to let thy light shine. So then when you put on the body of Jesus Christ, what happens? Your light shines because if you have the globe, the enclosure, as to that of cleanliness and nothing to hinder the light, once the body is put on, then it is pure, it is holy. No middle wall of partition in the light from within, which is Christ within you. The hope of glory, this great, wonderful wisdom of God, it begins to penetrate, makes your face to shine, and it goes out all over the world. And the Bible said, and the ordination is that this light is to shine unto the ends of the earth, and the Gentiles will come to the shining of this light. So then we see a great, wonderful thing that's taken place, and that is God hath returned in the latter times. This is the latter times. This is the last days. And God has returned here in the latter times, in these last days, to build up the fallen down house of David. And this means the redemption of the body, or that means to bring the Jewish people back in. And if he brings the Jewish people back in, then that again will erect the throne of David as to Jesus coming to kingship. And if he raises up the Jew, then Paul said, if the casting away of the Jew be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? So then we know that if the Jews went away at Calvary to give place to the Gentiles, now that the days of the Gentiles are coming to an end, then that means that the Jew is coming back in. If the Jew is coming back in, then he represents the body that's dead by the rending of the veil to do away with your sinful part as to the body of this death. At Calvary, he represents that. That is the reconciling of the world to do away with that body as the Jew being your scapegoat. And now that the days of the Gentiles are over, the spiritual episode as to the spiritual Jew coming to an end as to the Gentile age, and then this life re-entering into the Jew. And that salvation is of the Jew. So when he goes back into the Jew comes forth. See, which means the resurrection of the dead. That is to say, when the Jew comes back in, he's coming out of darkness, out of the Holocaust and all the wandering and sufferings and all these kind of things. He comes back in, and when he comes back in, that's the resurrection of the dead. So then we see that we're right here at the opening of the graves. We're here now at the resurrection of the dead. God is getting ready to resurrect the dead, which means that our body is ready for the change. It is coming to the change. Someone would say, no, Brother Pike, you know, we have to go another few years. And I know the old Pentecostal way of life, and I think it's wonderful in that they was taught to subject the body because that's what they need to do. But still, though they were taught to subject the body as to a day-by-day sanctification and surrendering and conforming to God, God let that be the little girl with the dishpan hand and not the churches uptown with the pattern of the paint. See, they're over here struggling, trying to do something, so God has respect to them. But that isn't what saves them. When the time comes, what saves them is not their struggling. They're struggling is just to stay away from the world. But what saves them is the faith of Jesus Christ that is revealed to them by the revelation of Jesus Christ, as when this day, time, and season comes to let them know who they are and who they've always been, even from the foundation of the world. That's why Jesus, he struck Paul down on the way to Damascus. And when he struck him down, he said, Paul, I want you to go turn my people from darkness to light. That is intellectual confusion and doubt. Turn them away from death and turn them to life, the mind of Christ, even the words of life. He said, go and turn them to life by this faith which is in me, by which they are sanctified. So then, by this wonderful faith which is in him, we come to the acknowledgement of this, and we come to know this wonderful thing in Christ. So then, now is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is, it's revealed to us. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, when the dead comes forth, Jesus is coming back. We're going to be changed because he's coming after a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He's coming after a perfect church. And as the song said, wait a little longer, Jesus, because I haven't quite perfected this thing. But did you know that if he waits a little longer, you're still not going to perfect it? And did you know if he waits about 10 years more, you're still not going to perfect it? As a matter of fact, you're going to be in worse shape than you are now. The way everything's going, God will have to shorten the days for the elect's sake, or there wouldn't be any flesh spared. So then it's getting so close, it would deceive the very elect if possible. So then we know that the perfection is not of us, in that the Bible teaches that God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Having sanctified them by the faith which is in Jesus Christ, or sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Lord Jesus. So then we're coming into perfection because we are having it revealed to us. I am a helper of your faith. I'm not here to try to get the cud out of your mouth, you know, and to keep you from sucking on a weed, as I say so many times, of dancing with another man's wife. You'll get away from that. If you have a nature, you'll get away from that. If you have a nature of Christ, to loathe that kind of thing, nobody will have to bother you. You'll get away from that. You know, when you get sick on your tummy from eating ice cream, you don't want no more ice cream. You're through with ice cream. Ice cream makes you sick to think about it. Isn't that right? Somebody said, well, you could never get that way off of the things of the world, Brother Pike. But I remember when I was a little boy, I had a vision, and I was just a little bitty fella. And not little as maybe some of these out here, but I mean, I was just so high, you know. Just a small guy. And I had a dream, and in the dream I had discovered gold. And I discovered this gold, and the stream that I discovered, it was just filled with gold. And mine looked so good, it looked so good to eat, I just started eating it. And I thought, I eat gold, and I eat gold, and I eat gold. It was just like ice cream. And when I come out of that vision, I felt cankered on the inside. And man, I couldn't stand the thoughts of gold. Every time I think about gold, I just couldn't stand the thoughts of it. So I guess God got me off to a real good start when I was a boy. So today, I like the song I wrote, I don't need no gold and silver. So you get choked off of those kind of things. You understand what I'm saying? So you don't have to make believe in nothing. You just automatically, with your nature of Christ on the inside of you, begin to present those good fruits. And I'm going to close in just a few minutes, but let me say this. See, as it has been said, why is a man a thief? Because he has went and stole a car, or because he has taken something that belonged to someone else. Thus, we classify him as a thief. And we say, now, you are a thief. A few days before, we did not say he was a thief. But he was a thief. Someone would say, no, Brother Pike, when he done that, he was a thief. No, that's not right. See, Judas was a devil from the beginning. He was a thief and a robber from the beginning. He had done nothing. But by foreknowledge, it was a preordination that he would do the evil, wretched things he did in betraying our Lord. And Jesus said to him, it'd been good if that man had never been born, because the severeness of God is going to be so bad. See, so he was a devil, or he had never done what he done. A man is a thief. He is a thief before he steals a car. Some of you that run out and drink beer and drink whiskey and all these kinds of things, this is why Brother Pike preaches to you like I do. You run out and you do these things. And when you do these things, you get mixed up in the world. And you get gullible for the things of the world. And you want to watch a little bit of non-virtuous TV on the side and read the wrong magazines and pout and fuss and spew off, you know. And have a little temper and whatever. And you say, Brother Pike, I just couldn't help it. I failed, Brother Pike. You know, I didn't mean to do that, but the next day you do it again. 2 weeks later, you do it again. And then after a while, we find out that you're continually coming back, always doing one thing or another, and always coming back because you know you just couldn't help it. And somebody said, I was all right till I'd done that. But that isn't the way it is. You was all wrong, and that's why it came out of you. You know, when you eat something bad and it won't stay down there, it doesn't match the system, it doesn't belong to the system, after a while, and up it comes. See, because it doesn't belong there. You understand? So it was your condition, that was the condition before you ever did that. A lot of times people go to the hospital and say, well, I was feeling fine until yesterday, and they had to put me in a hospital. But see, that wasn't what it was. There was something working on you. It might have been cancer eating your lungs out. It could have been some kind of deadly disease, some kind of blood disorder, whatever it was. You went to the hospital because that's what it was. Now, there are those things, as we say, where you might have a wreck and go overnight. And we spoke of those things where you don't practice wrong and you get caught in those things. But even those things sometimes, it can be that drunkenness was working on you before the wreck came. See, you might have been drunk and wild before then, frequenting the wrong places. So then, a thief is not a thief because he stole a car. He is a thief. That's why he stole a car. He was a thief to begin with. So when you do a thing wrong, it's because that's what you are. The child is known by his doings. How do you understand what I'm saying? So we see who we are and where we are and what God is expecting out of us if we're to come to that perfect person. Now, I say again, your perfection is of God, is to faith in Jesus Christ and to the sanctifying works of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they said, what must we do to work the works of the Lord? He said, this is the works of God. I am the works of God. Believe on me. He whom the Father sent, the works was finished from the foundation of the world. Then this was given to us because the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. So we are elect according to foreknowledge. But I say one more time, and finding a place here to close, I say one more time, it is imperative to your salvation that you as an individual surrender this outer body. We say surrender it, conform, so that we can have salvation or that we can be a Christian. No. It's like I said, the apple tree brings forth its apples because the nature was waiting for the season. And see, I'm just telling you that you've got to conform in your body and all these other things, not as to try to be hypocritical, to constrain yourself to go through ritualistics and will worship. I'm telling you that you're born of God and you've got the Spirit of Christ and you've got the unction of God, and that same Spirit that was in Christ will automatically, as the nature, we're partakers of the divine nature, it will automatically reproduce and bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. So then, our vines have tender grapes, and the little foxes spoil the vines. But see, we bring forth the fruit because we have the nature. You already have the nature. You're already born of God. See, you're already perfect. And what you're trying to do is bring forth fruits to perfection. Now, if you have a perfectness on the inside, it's no trouble to bring forth the fruits to perfection. If the veil has been rent in twain, there's nothing to hinder it. Everything is tender as to the casing. And so then you can bring forth, because the trees of God are full of sap as to life. You're filled with the Spirit of God. See, so this, as the green tree of God, can bring forth. The dry trees cannot. But as the green trees as to life, they can bring forth. And you can do that. But the only thing is, you've got to surrender your body, surrender your mind, surrender your desire, because anything that's coming forth from within can be hindered by that which is without. And if you don't surrender the entirety of the outer man to the full surrender as a living sacrifice, as to bring every thought to the thoughts of Christ Jesus, then there's going to be a power that interferes with your thoughts, in that there's a continual warfare between the body and the soul, and it's going to dwarf your fruits or make your fruits not to be as they should be, as to perfect fruits. So then we're on a journey, as the writer said, to another country. And what we're doing, we're surrendering our being. We're surrendering our body for that full reward. We're surrendering every day. We're becoming more like Christ, putting the out one down so the outward man can perish, raising up the inward that he might be renewed day by day until the full measure of Christ has presented itself fully in your mortal being. This life of Christ being made manifest in your mortal being to the full measure of the full stature. Of course, this is what we want to do, and this is what we should be doing. And if we're not doing this, as to go on to perfection, that is to say, subdue this body and make it 100% in Christ, then we're not pleasing the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, let's stand together. Appreciate your attention tonight. Thank the Lord for you. Another night, a little bit of exhortation, and a few things that might help program your mind to the wonderful fullness of God, that you might have this wonderful heavenly treasure that's within your earthen vessel, made manifest in your mortal genes, even the life of Christ. That you might change this unbecoming image into the glorious image of Christ. Whereas Paul said, we do not desire to be unclothed. We do not desire that our spirit should lose its body, its envelopment. We do not desire that. But what we do desire is that this innermost being should continue in life, and that this outer person should be swallowed up by that great, wonderful house from heaven. That is to say, I don't want to die, Paul said, is to lay my body down. But what I would like to see happen is the change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that this which I now am would be swallowed up as mortality with life, and that this mortal might become immortal through the swallowing up of the outer. So I do not desire to be unclothed, but rather clothed upon with my house from heaven. First Peter said, if this tabernacle be dissolved, we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. So we're not designed to die, but we're designed to come to the change that in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, this outer person that's unbecoming in the sight of God might be swallowed up immediately, and we find ourselves in that glorified body, our house from heaven. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, and we shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheaves, and I shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, we're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, I shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, we're bringing. You know, when I look and see you coming to the Lord, loving the Lord, it thrills my soul. Bringing in the sheaves. I look and see Joe back there coming to the altar. It just breaks me up on the inside. It tears me up because I pray for Joe and his little family all the time. I pray for them. God will keep them safe and help them till he can get back with the brotherhood and with the house of God. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. You're bringing. And we shall come. Can you give the Lord a wave offering? We're bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves. We shall come. Rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. One more time. Bringing in the sheaves. You know,
No one can really know the value of a soul except the Lord Jesus, having given his blood to save a soul. The Bible said pulling them out of the fire, because that's an eternal law. Once the soul slips into the fire, there's never a chance again. There's never a change. You know, when you get out there, your mind gets programmed to where you don't think about the seriousness of losing your soul. You don't think about the sorrow and the heartaches, the eternal loss to your loved ones, that you're leading them into death. We shall come rejoicing with bringing, one more time together, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Let's sing this little chorus together, sister. Come a little closer, just a little closer, Lord. Come a little closer to the Lord. Heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, Lord. Come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. Well, I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down the sea, bending low, trouble in my soul, looking for the place of refuge. But an old-time preacher came calling one day, good book, good. Now I can say there's nothing in my way. I came a little closer to the Lord. So I came a little closer, just a little closer. I came a little closer to the Lord. My heavy load did lighten, my days did brighten when I came a little closer to the Lord. I keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, the wind and the I'm going to smooth out the road that leads to heaven up above. Make it easy for those behind. So we're working those roads. For the road to heaven is straight, also narrow. The gate round is trials of every kind. I want to smooth out those snares and end often. My prayers make it easy for someone behind. I keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven above. I'll make it. Can you sing that with me? And we keep working. You know, in our African crusade over Nigeria. They took pictures, and thousands of hands are like this. There's thousands of people. I keep working the roads to glory. Thousands of people. When we gave the altar call, they have their hands over like this. As a matter of fact, I think they're going to use that on one of our songs. Maybe the one that's called The Harvest. That's the thrill of my life, to see you standing around the altar. I keep working. I see different ones that's drifted off, and I see them come back in, and I think, God, I'm so glad that you brought them back. Don't you know the angels in heaven have a jubilee, because they know that that eternal doom and damnation won't take place with at least one soul. We keep working those roads to glory. Working those roads to glory. Though we gain the blind, I'm going to smooth out the road at least. Heaven above, I'll make it easy. Sing with me again. The road to heaven, it's straight and all so narrow. The gate around us, trials are very kind. I want to smooth out the snares that hinders. Offer my prayers, make it easy for someone. We keep working those roads to glory. Working those roads to glory. Above, I'll make it easy. One more time together. So I'm working the roads to glory. Working the roads to glory. Helping the weak and the blind. I'm going to smooth out the road. Heaven above, I'll make it easy for someone. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the road seems long and rough, but together we can stand. Well, I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. You'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you. Carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, for there's a mountain top. And when you stand on the top, you'll be so glad you tried. Together we will praise the Lord. Shout down the other side. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you the help. Although the road is rough and long, but together we can stand. Well, I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. Just a little bit, I'll help you carry one more time. And if I help you carry your load, you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, cause I see the mountain top. When you stand upon the top, you'll be so glad. For together we can praise the Lord. Shout down the other side. You'll move over just a little bit. I know the road is long and rough, but know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. If you'll move on for just a little bit, I'll help you down. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye faithful. For his blood is washed away every stain. Can you sing that with me again? I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain to give. Singing that. I will pray. While you're singing that, we're going to have prayer for Sister Billie Jean. She's been having some problems. And feel like the Lord will touch you. You know, the Word of God is worth exactly what you offer as faith in it. It is just exactly the strength of your believing. If you believe, then the Word of God works for you. As to how much you believe, then the Word of God works for you. If you believe a little bit, then it works for you a little bit. If you believe a lot, then it works for you a lot. But the Word of God works according to your conviction of faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. According to the strength. Your faith. As to whatever your faith is, according to your strength of faith. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God. Being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So then, as the disciples said, they said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could move mountains. So then it wasn't a matter of having faith. It was like it was said of Abraham. See, he was strong in faith. He was strong in faith. A lot of times we're weak in faith because we try to mix so many things with faith. You ever seen a person come up with a recipe? They could mix things together and they'd have the best tasting stuff that you ever tasted. Isn't that right? The best tasting stuff that you ever tasted. Let somebody else mix a recipe and they had a mess. You know? And that's the way it is. You're trying to mix too many things with faith, and faith won't mix with anything. Faith won't mix with anything. And it won't rest upon anything except the rock of God's eternal declaration as to his word. And we'll have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. One of the greatest, most powerful messages that Jesus ever uttered forth as a man walking the earth. He would say to someone, have faith in God. He would say, you see, I am a man. You are a man. I have faith in God. And look what God does for me. So then he would say to others, have faith in God. The works was finished from the foundation of the world. Have faith in God. But again, I say that it is necessary for you and I to do something. And what we do as works to our faith, as the believing in his faith, his powerful faith unto salvation, his faith of sanctification, his faith of glorification, It is what you and I do in our natural body as to surrender and conform to the strength of God. This is where we get our strength for our faith. See, you're not doing anything to strengthen God's faith. Paul said his faith doesn't need any strengthening. His faith doesn't need any works. Jesus, he completed the works, and he said, Father, it is finished. See, but your faith, to be able to believe what he has said, needs strengthening. You do the things that please God. Enoch pleased God. He was translated. Jesus, his testimony was that he doth always the things that please the Father. That is, in your heart, or while he walked the earth, he done always the things that please the Father. So then here, we are trying to strengthen our faith. And the more that you strengthen your faith in believing in his finished works, the more powerful you are, the more ability as to utilization, the daily sanctification of putting away the world and the desires of the world and the thoughts of the world, as to taking his thoughts into your mind, the more powerful you become. In Christ is neither male nor female. It doesn't matter. You know, a woman can do great and mighty things, just like a man can do great and mighty things. I believe they say it was a woman that prayed the prayer for this boy that has been going around so many years, that doesn't have an eye, that uses the glass eye, and yet he sees through the socket if you take the eye out. And they say that this girl prayed the prayer of faith. And they say when she prayed, whether true or not, after which when she realized what happened, I believe they said she fainted. You know, it reminds me, the Bible said God's able to do abundantly and above all that we're able to ask or think by the power that works within us as to the Holy Spirit. And when I think of all these things, it reminds me of the time when they prayed for Peter's release. And the angel actually went down and shook the prison till the doors came open. And Peter walked over to where they was. And when Rhoda run to the gate, she said, Peter's at the gate. And the people that was praying for his release said it must be his angel. They couldn't believe what they'd already believed for. They couldn't believe that God had done what they had tried to believe for him to do. And yet he did it. Yet he did it. And so then I said that to encourage your faith, to encourage Sister Keys' faith, because the word of God to you is worth exactly what you put into it as your strength of confidence. So let's be like Abraham. Let's walk right, do right, live a life of divine meditation, love, and concern in God, doing something to encourage our faith that we might be strong in faith. Strong in faith. And so when I pray for Sister Keys, I'll be praying for you. And when I pray, if you believe, God will answer your prayer and he'll answer your faith. And then I say unto you, according to your faith. But then you say, but Brother Pike, I don't have any faith. Now that couldn't be right. See, I tell you so many times, that's not right. To say that you don't have any faith, that's not right. The Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense and reward. Why is Joe here tonight? Because he had faith. Even out there, though the devil tried to hamper his faith, yet he believed in this, and here he is standing here with the brethren tonight. The devil can hinder your faith. See, but remember, you do have faith. How then could you be saved if you did not have faith? To deny that you have faith is to deny your salvation and throw your eternal life away. So you know that you have faith. But the thing is, what is the strength of your believing as actuality when you see it made manifest in your mortal body as to help someone, or in the miraculous, or whatever it might be? See, the Bible tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but soberly, according to the measure of faith that's been dealt unto us. That is, do whatever you can by your faith. And whatever you accomplish in your lifetime by your faith, that's what you are. That's the strength of your faith. And folks, he can do wonderful things. He said, ask of me and I will show you great and mighty things that ye know not. All right, we're going to pray for the sister. Let's pray together.
Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, as Sister Keys stands here tonight, Father, her case is very simple. Lord, the powers of evil that create deceptive thoughts, oppression of mind, weariness of body, Lord, they flee away into nothing. God, when thy word comes and faith comes in the heart, then, God, the spirit is no more, but it leaves. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in Jesus' name. Father, I feel the freedom in this spirit right now. Stay away from this body, Satan. This is the body of the Lord, the temple of God. You're a trespasser. It don't belong to you, and you don't have any right to it. Father, now that this spirit is gone, give strength. Give strength, even as you did the little girl. Give strength. Give strength. Let the wonderful virtues of God enter into this body to strengthen this mind, these nerves. Father, let her be a great testimony. Let her trust thee, Lord, with all of her life, with all of her mind, with all of her soul. Let her lean upon thee and doubt not. For God, thy word is sufficient. Thy grace is sufficient. Father, thy word shall not fail. Though heaven and earth pass away, Father, that word shall remain in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, touch Brother Keys tonight. Give him the strength of resistance, Heavenly Father. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee that ye should not come near Brother Keys anymore. This body belongs to Christ. It's for his glory. And I adjure thee by God in the blood that was freely given from the veins of my Savior at Calvary. I charge thee, Satan, come no more near this body in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? We sing that song, Only Believe. Can we play that and sing that, Sister Dell? Only believe. Only believe. Can you sing that with me? All things are possible. Only believe. Only Lord, I believe. Lord, I receive. Oh Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. For Jesus, he is here. For Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Can you lift up your hands and worship the Lord? Do you really believe he is here? He's here, and all things are possible. Jesus is here. Oh Lord, I believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? The Bible said, and shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe? Do you actually believe? Are you calling on the name of the Lord tonight? Are you asking God to give you strength? Are you asking God to give you salvation? Are you asking God to direct your life? The Bible said, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he'll direct your path. Are you asking the Lord to guide you? Are you asking God to give to you
His blessings, all of those things belong to you just for the believing. Don't let unbelief come. Satan can't take them. They can't fail. The only way to stop them is to disbelieve. Would you dare disbelieve what God Almighty has said? Wouldn't you believe what the president said? How much more what God has said? The president can't bring to pass his words, but God can bring to pass his words. He's loved you with an everlasting love. He said, I've engraved you in the palms of my hand that I might not forget you. Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Oh, he touch me, Jesus, he touch me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now, oh, now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. For he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. As Joe comes up here, would you like to come in a little closer to the altar? Remember Joe. Remember your brother. It was when Joseph out of the dungeon that it represented the resurrection of the Son of God. I was speaking this morning of the time being at hand. And it was when he came up, out of the dungeon. I wonder if Sister Betty would come up here with me just a minute. It was when he came up out of the dungeon that the resurrection was at hand. Many things are taking place, many wonderful things. Now I know that Jesus touch me and he made. Sing this with me. For oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. And now, oh, now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. And he was here. Heavenly Father, Lord, as I pray for Joseph, I pray in Jesus' name, Father, the yoke be broken off of Joseph and off of his little family. I adjure thee, Satan, by the name of Jesus Christ, that you take your hands off of Joseph. The Lord rebuke thee, Satan, in Jesus' name. This is the Son of God. This body belongs to God. And eternal life abides within this temple. And you have no right to it, Satan. And you've hindered him long enough. And now he's coming forth for his sonship to let his light shine as a testimony to show that Satan hath no power to defeat him. And in spite of all the problems, greater is he that is within Joseph than you, Satan, that's in the world that's tried to hinder and suppress. So then in Jesus' name, Father, we ask you to fill this body with the strength of God, with the Spirit of God, that he might be filled with this wonderful love of God and the testimony of God and the wisdom and the strength to prevail, to let the light shine in Jesus' name. Father, I felt this yoke break. Satan, come no more near this body. I adjure thee, come no more near this body. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father said, my son that was lost is now found. Put the best robe on him. Bring forth the ring and put a ring on his finger. Shoes on his feet. And kill the fatted calf. So then, God is reaching out for the prodigal. The prodigal that comes to realize that one time he was in the Father's house, a son, still a son, and that the Father hath plenty, that all things are well. And though he repented, the Father could not hear the voice of repentance to the extent he was so overjoyed because his son was home. It never changed the fact that that was his son. Though his son had gone astray. You lose your little daughter, you lose your little son, you're never happy till you find them, because it doesn't change the fact that they're your children just because they wandered away from home, always misled. So tonight it thrills my heart. One night while it was raining, Joe and I talked for a long time on the porch of the big house, and it thrills my heart to see Joe come, because I love Joe. And I know you love Joe. And we've got some brothers that's come back now. We've got some sisters. Some of our sisters had wandered off and now they're coming back. And the family of God has begun to come together again. And how beautiful, how wonderful it is to know that they're all coming home. Like the song we wrote, all the children, they're all coming home. All of them are coming home. It must be supper time. It must be that the evening shadows are falling and things are happening. Because the voice of God is calling. Like Solomon said, and he said, the voice of the turtle was heard in the land, the voice of the turtle dove. It started cooing to its mate. In the time when the little poppies begin to show their face, Solomon said, the flowers are in blossom and springtime comes, and you hear the voice of Christ Jesus, the dove of heaven. You remember when the dove came down upon Jesus? The Christ Spirit, that precious, tender, lamb-like, dove-like spirit. That spirit starts wooing and calling to its tender mate. For there is a spirit within a human body somewhere that will answer. A tender, gentle, meek, humbled spirit in a body somewhere that will relate to that gentle voice and the gentle tones of that voice. And they become one. The marriage being close at hand, and he calls to his mate. Time to come home. Time to come home. The shadows are falling. The judgments are coming. Get out of the way of these things. As Brother Branham said, watch the cattle get away from the mountain when the tree must start. That inward instinct makes them know there's going to be a landslide, going to be a treacherous thing. And they begin to get away from that mountain because they know it's time to come home. You know, that is to get back to shelter. The night's coming. The storm's coming. The earthquake is coming. And they begin to look for home. So then, we're here tonight as sheep of his pasture. While we're here, just lift your hands. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if your conviction is in the Word as to faith of the hearing of the Word, that we might have faith in God. Let's sing a verse of that, Sister Dale. Have faith in God. I want you to sing that with me, Dale. Have faith in God. Can you have faith now? Have faith in God. Have faith in God for salvation. Can you believe in God that his love is so great that he won't let you perish? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. While we're singing this, have faith in God, I'm going to ask Joe to come up and dismiss us tonight in prayer. Have faith in God. Can you sing one more time with me now? Have faith in God.